At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today
FM. So let's start with that story about Dublin being the second slowest city in the world for those driving their cars. Michael Sheridan, motoring journalist, tell us how this has been calculated.
Well, every year, TomTom, who are one of the prime movers in navigation units and navigation mapping, issue a survey, and they hit all the major cities in the developing world. So 387 cities were surveyed for this year's report on 2023. And it showed that Ireland has been creeping up. We've always been sort of thereabouts in the top 10, but traffic has slowed down to a crawl. And London is only a worse performer in terms of wasting people's time when they're trying to get around the place in a car. Dublin comes in second place ahead of Toronto, Milan and Lima in Peru. So the way they did it, they tested traffic flow in the morning and in the afternoon at specific times, and it takes 29 and a half minutes to travel 10 kilometres in Dublin City. London is ridiculous at 37 minutes and 20 seconds, but you could split seconds between the top five, with Dublin leading the way with 29 and a half minutes to travel.
Do you know, that even strikes me as a generous estimate, because the 10 kilometres was explained as Houston Station to Blackrock in South County Dublin. And I'd say you'd be doing well to drive that in less than half an hour, wouldn't you?
Well, it's funny. We always forget that Port Isle Dublin gets a lot of stick for traffic. And basically because it's, you know, it was a Viking city, a medieval city. The Normans came along, they straightened the roads, made them a little bit wider. But it was a city, ultimately, that was built to satisfy the needs of a horse and cart. And vehicular traffic has always been an issue. It doesn't help that at the moment, Dublin City Council really hate the private car. Now, while we're all moving towards EVs, they still hate private cars, even if they're not putting out any emissions, and don't want people in private cars in the city. And you can see it would be lovely to have cafe society everywhere and everybody being able to cycle safely and park their e-scooters wherever they want. But the trouble is, the place has to function, and people who have to go through the traffic of Dublin City are losing an enormous amount of time, and it's literally twice the time it takes for Limerick and Cork. While they have their issues, literally it's half the time, their duration. There's some 200 places further down in the league table than Dublin. So Dublin is really a chronic basket case where the private driver is being persecuted by really bad planning and a city council that really hates the private car.
Oh, Michael Pidgeon, you're a Dublin city councillor for the Green Party representing the Dublin South West inner city. Twice there, Michael Sheridan has said that Dublin City Council hates the private motorist and private car. Is that true?
I think if there's a war on a motorist, it's probably one of the least successful wars ever. If you look at the Keys, you'll see it's dominated by cars. I think the basic issue is actually one that Michael pointed out there, which is that the city is built. It's a Viking city. It's expanded since. But the city centre is one size. And since the 1980s, the number of cars in Ireland has gone up by more than 200%. So the city is one size. The number of cars doubles, trebles. And you expect that, you know, we can't be surprised that there's suddenly a huge amount of traffic. And it comes down to a core issue of maths in the city centre. You have to see what moves as many people as possible efficiently, because the space is limited. We're not going to pave over the Liffey. There isn't much space. So if you look at the space that, say, a single Dublin bus takes up, a double-decker, it's probably two, maybe three cars, depending on the size of the car. Those cars between them would probably have four or five people. Dublin bus is going to have probably 20, 30 times that number of people, depending on occupancy of the cars of the bus. It's an absolute no-brainer that when it comes to the city centre, you have to prioritise, in particular, the bus as a core way of moving people quickly. Because no matter how wide you make the roads, they're always going to bottleneck. You can't put twice as many cars into one area and expect anything other than traffic. And that's what we've done and that's what we got. And with bus connects, with bike lanes, we're starting to unpick that gradually and start to prioritise the big things. Because I think when a bus comes on the Keys, it should be, if you remember when Joe Biden was in town, the second his car was on a road, the road was clear, everyone out of the way. A bus should be treated like that, just democratically, just mathematically, because it is carries so many more people than an individual car does. The sheer efficiency of it means everything should be out of the way of the bus.
What do you say to that, Michael Sheridan?
You know what? Absolutely. But the trouble is, we've no underground. We are overground, trying to hop onto a packed Lewis at rush hour time. It's a massive problem that Dublin City has. And even for somebody who doesn't live in the city, doesn't know their way around the city, driving or finding yourself with the misfortune of having to get or traverse the city in a car is an absolute nightmare. And nobody wants to waste the amount of time that they have so badly by being stuck in traffic. So, yeah, roll on the buses. You know, Dublin really, really has massive problems. And yes, everybody should be in buses. We should have a metro link to the airport. We should have an underground system. All of these sort of things. We don't.
And we're not going to have for another 10 to 15 years, Michael. So what's the point in saying it?
Exactly. And also the thing is you know, how easy is it for people to actually know when and rely on a bus system? And also there's a certain security as well. And that's why it's a terrible problem that the council has. And it's easy for me to just have a little pop there, which is a bit facetious of me. But how can we get people or coax people out of cars? Because again, a car gives you security. It gives you a controllable space. It also, a lot of people decompress if they've been in town, or if they're going back from their city centre employment to wherever they live, which might be on a bus route. They need to be in a car. It's their own personal space. We all got used to people appreciating a car even more at the time of COVID, because again, they could control their environments. They could, you know, have listen to what they wanted to listen to, feel secure and safe. Not everybody can hop on a bus, but also we don't have enough buses. We don't have enough of a direct connection for buses. The sooner bus connects can get up and going, the better it'll be for everybody, because nobody wants to waste their time traversing the city. And if there is a quicker, more efficient way to do it, people will jump readily onto public transport. So the more that's highlighted and the easier it is for people to use it, the better it'll be for everybody.
Okay, Michael Pidgeon, I'm a daily bus user. I'm lucky enough that I live in somewhere which is extremely well serviced by lots of buses on the way into the city centre, so I can jump on one within minutes of going to look for one. Most people aren't in that position because there simply aren't enough buses, or the routes simply do not suit them. So we've used the example of Houston Station to Black Rock. Now, I doubt you can do that 30 minutes in a car, and a couple of taxi drivers have been on already to say no chance of that. But I know damn well you won't do it in half an hour in a bus.
No, that's true. And that's why bus connects is so important, like building these bus corridors, building new routes, just ripping up the whole thing and starting again. But you remember at the start of this, we're talking about this because Dublin is number two in terms of traffic congestion. You look at where number one is, it's London. I lived in London for 3 years. They've got a massive underground. They've got a great bus network, great overland bus or train service. Like, London has done public transport really, really well, but traffic is still slow. And I think that's something that we have to get to grips with, that Dublin might seem like a bit of an outlier, but really for big European capitals, if you still have cars going through the city centre, it's the scale of it simply means it's not going to be fast, unfortunately. And we have to look at providing the public transport, the walking, the cycling options for different journeys. There's always going to be some car use, there's always going to be some car journeys, but the idea of that you'll be able to hit a 40k an hour average at rush hour down the Keys, it's a fiction. It just doesn't exist in any modern European capital right now, and it's not going to exist in Dublin.
Okay, last word, listeners are texting into 0874 100 102. Philip says, all over the city they are stopping traffic moving by slowing the light sequences. There's no efficiency with buses, really poor service. My son just bought a car to get into college because of poor service. His brother missed a college exam because 3 buses went past him. I always want these people to actually go out and stand at a bus stop to see how bad it is. I will never get out of my car. The number 15 bus route supposed to be every 15 minutes, says Philip. Look, I understand as well. I'm lucky in my own bus habits in that I don't have to travel at rush hour into town, so I'm coming at a quieter time. Another one, Brian says, traffic has become so much slower in Dublin since COVID because all the feeder lanes and junctions have been removed and replaced with exclusive bike lanes. Is that true, Michael Pidgeon, that the ability to get through our streets has been damaged by the inclusion of bike lanes?
Well, it's not damaged if you're on a bike. Here's the thing, like, again, it's a question.
Only one person on a bike. There could be more than one in a car.
Well, this is the thing. Well, it depends. There's a few tandems around. But like, this again depends about how you use the space efficiently. A bike lane is a fairly small sliver of road. It can generally move about 2,000 people an hour. We know the Keys in Dublin probably move 300 or 400 cars an hour. It's a fairly small number. Again, it's about using the space we have in the city centre efficiently. There's loads of space. If you go further outside of the city and the suburbs and that sort of thing, it's a different game. But in the core city centre, you have to maximise that space incredibly well. And a part of that is going to... you mentioned, for example, your bus is quite good. I don't know where you live, but I imagine it's probably a bus that has pretty good bus lanes the whole way through. If anyone uses the 145 from Bray or the 46A or something like that, it's pretty much got bus priority all along the N11. And as a result, it's a great bus. If you put in bus lanes and you put in bus priority at traffic lights, it works. The bus is suddenly faster, more reliable, and just a nicer way to be. It's the buses that get snarled up in traffic or estates or bottlenecks. They tend to be the rubbish buses that, personally, I try to avoid.
Okay, listener says, bike lanes in Dublin city centre are a complete waste of time. Get them removed and put in more bus lanes instead to move more people. Michael Pidgeon?
I can't think of a single bus lane that's been removed to put in a bike lane, and I wouldn't support it being done.
No, I think they want to get rid of the bike lanes to put in more bus lanes.
A bike is a bit narrower than a bus, so I think the issue is generally there that a bike lane tends to not take up much space. The widest bike lane that I know of in the city is just near Houston there, and it's right beside a bus lane already. So I think generally that's the approach that's already taken. If there's somewhere that listener has in mind, please get in touch with me, because I think a bus lane is always a better priority.
Another listener says they want to improve the traffic, yet the Dublin tunnel is now 12 quid during rush hours. Makes no sense. Yes, it's gone up from 10 euro. Another one listener is saying you can get the 145 from Houston Station to the N11 and then connect to Blackrock, or walk the last bit, or use the bus in Dart. There are loads of options. Then another listener saying the bike lanes take up a full carriageway. They don't.
No,
they take up about half the size of a car. But if you have an awful lot of narrow roads, Michael Sheridan, putting in a bike lane can really snarl up the space available for cars and buses and trucks, can't it?
Absolutely. And let's not forget that Irish drivers aren't necessarily, as a collective, we're not necessarily the best drivers in the world. And people are still trying to grapple with the 1.5 metre or the 1 metre rule and passing distances. So if you take a narrow road, which used to take a car, and you put a car and a bicycle on it, the speed is dictated then by the bicycle going down that road. Now, in fairness, in Dublin City, a bike will usually pedal quicker than a car could ever dream of going, even on an early Sunday morning. And I remember Dublin City streets where, you know, you used to be able to get to close to the speed limit. Now, that's the thing. In the past, car drivers happily forgo that. But the notion of bus travel for a car driver, an existing car driver, there needs to be far more done to promote the potential of a bus as an alternative form of transport for a car driver. We need more routes, say, that are given on a certain day and advertised as being free, or say, give it a try, or try this commute. Just make it free, do it for a day, and say, see if you can get out of your car, see if you can make public transport port work for you. Because if it would, it would be great. It would save everybody. There isn't a car driver who wants to make an unnecessary journey. They really don't. And if you're going into the city, it can be hell on wheels for people. But by all means, like, you know, give people an alternative, but a practical alternative. They can try it. And if it works, brilliant.
Okay, very briefly, Michael Pidgeon of the Green Party. I see your party leader, Eamon Ryan, today announced €1.5 billion to be spent on cycle lanes between now and 2040. €1.5 billion, an enormous amount, but spread out. And a lot of these are going to be rural routes, aren't they? And the other cities outside of Dublin.
Yeah, because people will often say, oh, it's all well and good for you in the city. But there's actually a huge potential for this all over the country. We've seen that in countries like Netherlands and Denmark, where it's not like some political statement, it's not some sort of fashion statement or something to hop on a bike. It's just the easiest way of getting around. And for me, we have to have an answer when parents say, I don't want to be stuck in the school run, I want my kid to cycle to school. we should give them a safe option.
JP says, on the traffic congestion, where's Galway on the list? It takes me an average 45 to 50 minutes to get from one side of the city to the other peak, roughly 8 kilometres. I understand that, JP. I've always been shocked any time in Galway, almost what any day of the week it is and whatever time, by how difficult it is to get through in a car. Okay, Michael Pidgeon of the Green Party, Dublin City Councillor, and Michael Sheridan, thank you both very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.